Amen. You may take a seat. Hey, wasn't that good with the strings today? Would you just thank them? That was so awesome. Thanks, Jacob, for your leadership. Appreciate that. Thank you. Hey, it's Wednesday, 2 days before. You got it. How many are ready for fall break? Come on. Okay. Before you get to fall break, how many of you have papers, tests, presentations? Oh, man. Those faculty, aren't they good people? All right. And we do. Yes. Hey, I got two announcements before you go on fall break. Here's the first one. For men, you need to know there is a golf scramble next Tuesday before you start classes. It's a great time to meet other guys. You don't even have to be a good golfer. So sign up online, grow.hope.edu. Deadline is noon on Friday. Make sure to do that. Second announcement is for everyone. Spring break mission trips. You can go online as well, activate@hope.edu. See the plethora. Like that word? Plethora. Yeah. Get on that trick, Johnson. I can use big words. Yeah. Plethora of trips that you can check out and make sure to sign up. All right. Hey, today we have a special guest, but before I introduce him, as you know, we've been using the book of Genesis as our main text for the gathering and chapel services. And it's our hope and prayer as we travel through the pages of Genesis that you would find your story within God's story. And with that in mind, we have asked four different faculty and staff members to share their story of how God has impacted their lives this first semester. If you remember, only a couple weeks ago, Dr. Ernest Cole from the English department shared. And today, we have our second faculty member, Dr. Miguel Abrantes from the Engineering Department. Would you give him a warm welcome today?
Thank you.
Now, Miguel and I thought we would do this a little differently in sharing his story. We thought we'd do it more through a Q&A. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask questions pertaining to his life. You get to listen in, and hopefully it'll be encouragement for you today. So, Miguel, the first thing is I pronounced your name right.
Correct.
Which was a good start.
Yep.
Which I can mess names up really easily, as you guys know. Miguel, you are in the engineering department.
Correct.
You got your PhD, I know, in Argentina.
Correct.
And it was not in engineering. You got it in, what was your PhD in?
Control systems.
Control systems.
Engineering.
Okay. Engineering. Okay. Good start, Borsma, with the first question. All right. Now, Miguel, how long have you been at Hope College? How
many? 5 years.
Five years. Okay.
Five years ago.
And, of course, this is your home now, but this is not where you're originally from.
Nope.
You were born and raised where?
I was born in Cuba, the biggest island of the Caribbean. I was raised there, regular small family.
Well, tell us about your family. Tell us your family and upbringing in Cuba.
I have an older brother and a very small extended family with just one aunt and one cousin. And, you know, I have all of my education in Cuba.
Okay.
My engineering undergraduate is from Cuba.
Okay.
And as Paul said, the graduate degree is from Argentina. Because I was always wanted to leave the country. I didn't like the communist regime that they imposed there, and I was able to go to Argentina.
Very good. Now, you just mentioned something very interesting. You said you were raised in Cuba under the communist regime.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? What was the impact of being raised in a country that was communist control? What was the impact on your country, on your community that you lived in, and on you personally?
Well, when I was born, the communist system was already established.
Okay.
But the beginning was really hard for my family and the community there. Yeah. Like example, my grandpa have a small farm, and the government took the farm from him. Huh. My father have the small convenience store, a small business. Yeah. The government took the business from him. He bought a taxi, a car to work as a taxi driver. The government took the car, made him work in the car that used to be his car, but now for the government.
Wow.
And it was hard. And yeah. When I was born, all of this regime was established and all of the repression was already set. But there were no public private schools. Everything was the public school that the government ran. From the very beginning, they start to teach you that God doesn't exist. Huh. I remember bringing home pictures that they give in the school with the solar system to explain to your parents that it's nothing up there, just a space. Or bring the picture, the evolution from the monkey to the human, to tell your parents the same thing. And, huh. You know, it's really...
So, Communism, their desire was to really reject God, that there is no God, mm-hmm. and did everything, as you were sharing with me, to kind of incorporate that in the population, to mm-hmm. kind of erase, as you would say, any faith of God. Now, play that out. How did that affect your family, who were Christian? Mm-hmm. How did that affect the churches? You know, you were telling me about that. So when communism came, you mentioned that they took over your father's, you know, business and so forth in your uncle's land. What did they do with the churches and with the Christian community? What was the impact there?
Well, the very beginning was really hard. The government expelled out of the country all of the missionaries, priests, nuns, or religious workers that were not born in Cuba.
Okay.
And they took from the churches everything, all of the schools, hospitals, everything, just they allowed to keep the building, the church building.
Yeah.
And it was really hard time for the Christians. The government rallied people in front of churches.
Yeah.
To throw eggs or spit on the churchgoer when they were coming into the
church. So you're saying that when people would, if you, at that time, you still could go to church, the churches were yep. open, but mm-hmm. when you went there would be mobs. Who would
government throw? Mob, they rally mobs. Then when you were coming in, like today you were coming in, they were mobs outside,
yeah.
throwing eggs or spitting at the people to try to close the churches.
Huh.
Then people start to get scared and the churches start to close.
Okay.
There were no workers to run the churches. There was a very hard time. The church in my town was closed before I was born.
Gotcha.
And for more than 20 years.
So the churches were closed during that time. So now let's bring that closer to you. How did that impact you and your family in keeping the faith? I mean, what did your family do?
Well, my parents were the one that had to deal with that thing. When I was born, them being Christian was kind of underground lifestyle.
Okay.
Was a little secret for our family.
Okay.
I never were able to practice in a community setting.
Yeah.
It was always a family tradition, praying or celebrating, rooted in the Catholic faith, but mm-hmm. very, very family-oriented
right.
thing.
Right.
And my mother taught us how to pray, and she made us to wear a cross, huh. hidden in our clothes.
Hold it. So she made you wear a cross hidden in your clothes?
Yep, but okay. we couldn't show. Then I remember she put the cross right here.
In your belt.
In my belt. And I never forget that, because running in physical education or practicing any sport was really hard.
The cross
was
you keep getting stuck.
Yeah.
By the cross.
But it was like our thing
yes.
to mark that we were Christian. And
it was a reminder.
But yeah. we couldn't tell anybody. It was just for us.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. I think you said your mother's, when she gave you that cross, she said, remember who you are. Mm-hmm. This will remind you who
and
you
is
are.
This cross, the one that I have here.
You still have it yeah. on. Very good.
Very tiny. That was good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to wear around your neck instead of around your belt now.
Very good.
Okay, very good. Okay, go on, because I want to get to, the time is running fast. So you grew up in this secrecy of having to keep your faith. You went on to college, you said, in the university, in a bigger city.
Yep.
What happened in college, which was quite interesting?
College, I moved to the big city. I found a church, and it was more, you could move with more freedom because people didn't know. It was a church in the middle of the town that we were able to meet at night with all of the lights off in the basement. That was freshman. But when I was a sophomore in Europe, there was the fall of the Berlin Wall and the communist regime in Europe. And we got this assignment that our time was coming. And it was a very good time for us and for people to get in the conflict.
So when the Berlin Wall fell in Europe, the people in Cuba began to think, it's going to come to our country as well, too. So people
didn't come, but
it didn't come. You're still waiting.
We're still waiting.
Yes.
But it's a lot of change now.
Yes. But you said there was more people gained more confidence than when the wall fell. Now, something else. The government responded to that by opening up, you said to me, tourism, because they needed money.
It was in need of money and need to open.
Because tourism had been closed. For
Cuba was closed from the outside world.
For 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So they open up tourism. Tell us the story, what happened then.
Then the missionaries can come as tourists.
As tourists. The nuns came in as tourists.
I was telling you that.
Yes. We're going to Cuba for a little vacation.
They have couple of nuns that came to our community, and then we were talking and telling the nun that we sometimes feel really bad that we didn't stand up for what we believe, and she, the nun was like telling us that that was our mission, that we were there ready for now to receive everybody, because the government wasn't happy with people starting to go to church, but couldn't rally mob anymore. The ideology started to collapse since Europe was gone, and then was something that they have to tolerate.
Yes.
People started to go to church. We opened our church after 20 years. The bat moved into the church. It was more than 2 feet of waste of bats living 20 years in one church.
There was bats in the church in 2 feet.
It's like a bat cave.
Yeah.
When we opened, it was like a bat cave.
And you reopened the church, and now again, the church is beginning to flourish more in Cuba.
Yep.
Here's an interesting story I want to close on. Now, one other thing you said, you had a roommate in college.
Yep.
Tell us briefly about that story.
The roommate, he was a communist, but he had problems in life, and we always was talking about just life problems. And the close that we talk about God was one time that they fired a professor because they found out he was a Christian. And he was really upset that he was explaining to me like how a bright professor could believe in that stupid thing. Then I tell him, well, you can see in different way. How is this bright professor believing that? How you can think that that's that stupid? That's the closest thing that we talk about God. Then I graduated, moved from Argentina, never hear from him. Like 2 years ago, I get an email from him. He was here in Florida, abandoned the regime for sure. He was telling me that he now found Jesus, that was part of the church, and he always count me as one of the first persons that brought him to the Lord.
Huh, yeah. Great story. Which is a great close to our time is this. So looking over your life of 39 years, growing up in Cuba under a communist regime, all that oppression that happened to your family, what have you learned about God in all this?
Well, that no matter how hard, different, or challenging is the path that you have, your journey, God always gives you the tools to deal with that and send you people to reveal himself and to help you to walk your path.
Yes.
And that maybe, and you maybe are part of his plan, that you are aware or not, but sometimes you don't understand, but we have to trust his promise.
And that is very good. And how you can impact, God uses you to impact people sometimes when you don't even know it, like your roommate who was in college. A great testimony. I wish we had more time, but you have to get to class. Let me close in prayer. God, thank you again. that you remind us in the book of Genesis that you call ordinary people to be a part of your grander plan, your story. And thank you that we find our story as well, too, in you. And I bless you for Miguel and the way that you have traveled with him throughout this unique journey from Cuba, and now he's here. And God, let us be mindful how you use us to impact others for your kingdom good as well, too. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day.